Now, if you were one of the 10,000 people who came along and enjoyed the Brentwood Festival last month, you may well remember the soulful sound of American blues singer Rhonda Merrick on the Sunday afternoon, I think it was, along with her partner Richie and his band Loose Change. Rhonda and Richie are with me now. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Now, also with us is a film crew, as Rhonda has written a music movie based on a song that she wrote the day that Amy Winehouse died. Rhonda, tell us a little bit about yourself and also the film in a moment. But the main reason you're here is to sing for us. Also, we've got a couple of tracks that you've recorded as well. Let's get straight underway with the song. I think we're going to play one that you've recorded first. Rhonda, do you want to introduce this one?
Yes, the song is called Love is a Beautiful Thing.
Let's hear it now. Love is a Beautiful Thing, Rhonda Merrick, my guest this morning, along with Loose Change. Loose Change also partly here this morning in the form of Richie Swan. Rhonda, thanks for popping in today.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, because I know that you're not from the UK originally. You're from southern USA, is that right?
Yep, originally I'm from New Orleans. I do live here in England. I've lived here for the last 6 years, but yeah, I'm from New Orleans.
Okay, New Orleans, it's a place that we don't know an awful lot about. I suppose we tend to associate it with quite negative things. I think the financial crash with all the subprime mortgages and things, it was sort of focused on that sort of area, wasn't it? And Memphis and the whole sort of Tennessee area, and also of course the Hurricane Katrina, which was a few years ago now, wasn't it? And that caused quite a lot of poverty, didn't it? It's obviously quite a poor area anyway, but a lot of devastation caused by the hurricane there.
Yeah, I actually grew up directly across the river from New Orleans in a little town called Hornville. We could see New Orleans across the river.
Right.
And the way that I grew up, we evacuated. We had something called Hurricane Season. I remember evacuating just about every year.
Every single year?
Yeah, from Boothville, Venice, Louisiana, and then we moved to Huntington.
And you grew up with that, so that was just something you were used to.
Yeah, it was just the way of life. Yeah, that's just how you live.
What was it like as an area to live in? Was it was there a lot of poverty?
Well, where I grew up, I was quite poor growing up. We didn't have much. But my uncle, Charles, he was known as... Charlie Merrick. He was quite a well-known blues musician. Mm-hmm. And played the big jazz festival. He toured around Europe, all that kind of stuff. But to me, he was just Uncle Charles, and him and my daddy Louis and their friends used to sit on the front porch and play the blues and, you know, drinking Southern Comfort and smoking Camels and Winston. And to me, the freestyle jamming was normal, but the level of improv music that I was used to was actually extraordinary. I didn't realize it, though, because it was all I ever knew.
That's all you ever knew?
Yeah.
So does that mean that you knew from a very young age that you wanted to follow in his footsteps and do music?
It was just natural to me. I didn't know actually how extensive my uncle's career was until I was an adult and lived in Europe, actually, and then I found out. He was just my uncle.
He was just your uncle, yeah.
Yeah.
Just that was what you knew. That was the norm.
That was what I knew, yeah. It's just my uncle, and they just played the blues and jazz. But he was like a session musician for, you know, very high, like B.B. King level musicians, and traveled with names that you would recognize. But I didn't know any of that either. And so their friends were all at that same level. If you can imagine half a dozen or more middle-aged and old black men sitting on a screened-in front porch in Louisiana, you know, drinking whiskey and beer and shouting and singing the blues before they go out, you know. That was very, very common. Very common, yeah.
So I guess your uncle was obviously a big influence for you, even though you perhaps didn't realize it.
Yeah.
What about other musical influences?
Well, there was this red brick Baptist church down the road from us. They didn't have air conditioning, so the windows were always open. And it was these thick gospel sounds that would come out, just filling up the streets. And I can remember that from my earliest memories. So I would, and then Soul Train played in our house, I think, every Saturday morning. Soul Train! That's how I grew up. So I didn't hear sort of the covers versions of songs. I heard the original versions of songs that came up out of the South that were then covered by rock and roll groups and things in other parts of the world. I didn't hear those growing up. I didn't hear those until I was an adult.
Soul music with a capital S, I guess.
Yeah,
really.
And blues, the real blues, and jazzy, funky things.
Yeah.
But that was balanced by going the years that I spent at San Diego State University in the performance voice program. My teacher, I studied with a teacher for 4.5 years, Mary McKenzie. She was the New York Metropolitan Opera House and all that. And she's semi-retired in San Diego. And that's where I learned things like enunciation and theory and counterpoint and all that kind of stuff. So it kind of balanced the natural musicality to actually learn how to sing properly. And
the technical side of it.
Some of the technical, although I can't touch Richie for technical. He thinks in counterpoint. I still think in lyrics and melody and emotion. But when we get together, that's how we make some tremendous songs.
How did you come to be in the UK, Rhonda?
Well, I originally came with my now ex-partner, who is British. We're still good friends. We're married almost 20 years. But we came over here about 7 years ago. And we have two children that are settled in the schools. And so it wouldn't, when our marriage ended, it wouldn't have made sense for me to go back to the States because the children were settled. So that's how I ended up being on indefinite leave to remain.
Okay, and Richie, you've mentioned Richie there. Richie is with Loose Change. You play the keyboards, and also you sing with Loose Change as well, don't you, Richie?
Well, I do bits of backing vocals, but as well as the keyboards, I do most of the arranging as well, because we are quite a structured band in that we've got horn players, we have saxophones, trombones. For those of you that came to Brentwood, you know, there's a 3-man brass section there. So as well as playing, a lot of what I do is actually writing out the sheet music as well. So it's quite different to what Rhonda's been used to, in that we actually sit down and say, right, you know, I've got four bars here, and then on bar five the saxophone comes in, and two beats into the fifth bar. I mean, the background I had is I grew up having piano lessons and playing in school wind bands, and that's how I learned to pick out harmonies and how to pick out structure and how bands integrated together. And then when I later went out and started gigging with bands, I sort of used that knowledge to the band's advantage.
So music has always been a big part of your life as well, but in a different sort of way.
Yeah, I mean, my grandfather was a hymn composer, and my mum, she now retired, she was a school teacher, but she played piano in school assemblies. She can play piano, my brother can play piano, guitar and trombone, so there's sort of musical genes in the family. I think it was only really about 15 or 16 that I actually became seriously interested in playing in bands and going out to pubs and started gigging. There'd always sort of been influence of sort of classic 60s music from my parents. My dad, remember him playing a tape of the Best of Supremes in the car, and I was just playing it round and round and round. Eventually I worked out how all the songs were constructed, and then there's phenomenal, particularly some phenomenal bass lines. So if you're a musician and you listen to sort of a classic Motown music, there's really good playing on that, as well as being catchy pop singles as well.
Yeah. So Loose Change and Rhonda, you played together at the Brentwood Festival. Rhonda, is it something that you do a lot, performing together? Because I know that basically you're a solo artist.
Yeah, now
you?
That's interesting. Okay, because Loose Change has been going for 16 years, and they've never done anything original, ever. I mean, they're very, very busy. They travel all over Europe. They gig 60, 70 gigs a year. But the only reason that they got involved with original music was because Richie and I started dating, and it was like, and it was more as a favor to him. They didn't know anything about me or the songs, so it was, yeah, it was a very a cultural thing, because I never sing the same song twice. Exactly the same, ever.
We'll come on to that in a moment, I think.
Never. And Loose Change is like on the end of the 16th bar and the F sharp augmented whatever.
So I guess in a way, different styles of music and different approaches to music coming together. That sounds absolutely tremendous to me.
It's actually, when we got it together, it was amazing, because they've absorbed some of the best pop music in the world over the last 16 years, but they had to start using it in different ways.
Look, we need to take a little bit of a break. It is about the music. I'm going to hear another song from you in just a moment. And I did mention that we've got a film crew in this morning. We've got Claudio and Toby here in the background, busy whirring away there. I don't think film crews do that these days. And this film is absolutely fascinating. I'm really looking forward to hearing about that and the inspiration for that. But we do need to take a little bit of a break first.